for the month of January entitled The Next Step. And we're going to look at some principles over the next few weeks as the Lord allows to find where God would have us this coming new year. And hopefully take a next step, take a step in the right direction from point A to point B to get where God wants us to go in the new year, the next step. Our first sermon in this series was entitled A Fresh Start. And we started that last week, and we're going to continue with that this week because we didn't finish last week. The preacher preached a little bit too long on the introduction, so we're going to continue the message this morning entitled A Fresh Start. Philippians chapter 3 this morning, and for those of you who are wondering why I look so much better today, why I've just got a glow about my face, Mandy made me shave my beard off. Was that an amen over there? So funny. I continually keep my hair shorter because it's already short. And so I cut my hair last night and then I cut my beard. You should have seen how much hair it was on the beard and how little hair was on the head. I mean, it really hurt my ego, you know. I'm glad to know that I still got, anyways, okay, I'm not going to go there. But last week I was just encouraged in the Lord. I was really excited. And we went to the fellowship last week and everybody, it was a good crowd down there with good food. And I walked over to sit at this table and there was several renowned families in the church sitting in this table. And one of those was Troy and Inez Kirkland. And I sat down, it was Troy and Inez, I think it was Miss Peggy Parton, and Don and Pat Early, and Vita, and a few other people there. And I walked over there, and Miss Inez said, "That beard looks terrible." So I guess I thought about I should do some maintenance, customer service, you know, customer relations. But Miss Inez, is this approved? Is this good? All right, better. What can I do to get any? It's too late. That's right. It's too late. But, all right. Philippians chapter 3, a fresh start. That's what we're talking about this morning. And hopefully God's going to speak to our hearts this morning as he already has in the service. Philippians chapter 3, begin reading in verse number 12, if you would. Follow along. "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I'm apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Today, would you bow with me in prayer as we talk about this subject, a fresh start. Heavenly Father, I pray that you would give me what I need to give to our people today. I pray that my heart would be in tune with you and my words, God, may be your words, and my thoughts may be your thoughts. I pray that you would hide me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And God, I pray that you would give me the Holy Spirit's power today. I pray that you would teach us and help us as we deal with the upcoming year and as we forsake and as we turn our backs on this past year and the things of our past. God, I pray that you would bind the hands of Satan this morning. God, that our hearts and our minds would be geared solely on your word and on what you have for us today. Help us to learn. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. A fresh start. I'm sure everybody in the room this morning, though at least those of you who were here last week, understand what we're talking about when I mean a fresh start. Many people make resolutions, and we talked about those resolutions last week. Many people decide to say, We want to lose weight, or we want to develop better habits. We want to work less and play more. We want to spend more time with family. We want to get different jobs, change employments, do whatever. We have all these resolutions. And as we start 2015, as we started last week, there is a fresh start. But the fresh start may not be what you think it is. Because a day is a day, no matter what the year may bring, January the 1st, December 31st, a day is a day, and to the Lord we all can have a fresh start. For us to take the next step where God wants us to be. For those of you who are not members of the church and you would like to take the next step and be members. Those of you who maybe are members of the church but you're not doing anything for God. And you would like to take the next step in doing something for God. Maybe you want to take the next step in your relationship with God. Reading your Bible and praying more. Maybe it's to join a service and being a part of a service here at Victory Baptist Church. Whatever that next step is, you cannot take the next step until you deal with the things that are behind you. And so today we deal with the fresh start. We talked about three types of people last week. First of all, there was a crippled person. When it comes to our past, there are three types of people sitting in this room, and I will briefly give you these because we talked about these last week just by way of going back over. There's a crippled person. That person this morning are those people who have been crippled by your past. You will not get past the things that you've dealt with before. Maybe it's a situation, maybe it's a circumstance, but whatever it is, this pattern keeps recurring in your life, and you have been crippled because of things that happened 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And I made this mention last week, and I'll say it again this week. There are people who have left this church and other churches, and they'll never go back to church because they've been hurt or they've been offended. Or something happened to them. Can I tell you, those people are crippled people because they continue to allow their future to be hindered by their past. And I guarantee you there are some people this morning that you are dysfunctional with your future because your past continues to be a nuisance to you and you haven't dealt with it, nor will you deal with it. Those crippled people, it's a way of life. This past is a way of life. It's always the topic. They're always the problem. The offense is always against them. They're always the victim. They can never move past their past. There's a crippled person that I'm talking to this morning. There's not only crippled people, but there's a second type of person, and that is a carrier. You may not be crippled, that as in you are dysfunctional and you can't carry on with your life, but I guarantee you more in this crowd are carriers. You have a smile on your face. You've dressed pretty nice this morning. You've come in the building. If everybody would look at you in the face and look at the way you dress, people would say, man, there's nothing wrong with them. But down deep, you know this. There are things in your past that you haven't dealt with. And even though you're moving slowly because you're carrying the weight of your past. There are things that you did last year or last week or 2 years ago. There are situations that have arisen. There have been people that hurt you last year, 10 years ago, 2 years ago, last month, yesterday, this week, whatever it is. And yet you haven't dealt with it and now you are carrying it with you in the future. Yes, you're moving forward. Yes, you have a smile on your face. But if we were to look down deep and if we were to look at the soles of your shoulders, we would understand you're carrying the weight of your past moving forward. I dare say probably the majority of the building are carriers. You continue the weight of the world, the weight of the past. You're not dysfunctional. It's not always the topic. You keep it hidden very well. But yet you carry things in your past and you're hindering your future. There's a third type of person in this building. And this is the type of person that we strive to be. And this is the type of person I'm preaching on today. And that is a conqueror. Someone who knows that they have a past, but they also know their future is greater than their past. And so because their future is greater than their past, they must, not that they may or they have to, or not that they may or they might, but they have to move forward because God has a bright future for them. These are conquerors, and that's who we want to talk about this morning. I don't know what it is in your life that is struggling, that your past is struggling with. I don't know if it has to do with yesterday or last night. I don't know if it has to do with 5 years ago. I don't know if it has to do with somebody in your family that hurt you. I don't know if it has to do with a situation in your life that God allowed to happen in your life, that it was a situation, maybe a death or a sickness or a physical illness. I don't know if it's somebody hurt you. I don't know what it is. But listen, this morning, the Apostle Paul addresses this in this great chapter. He said, Brother John, I want to move forward. I want to take that next step. I want a fresh start in 2015. What must I do to be a conqueror in the Lord Jesus Christ over my past? I'm going to give you three words this morning and we're going home. Here's the first word. Write it down for this year. It's the word frailty. Frailty. The Apostle Paul deals with this word by giving us another word. Look at verse number 12, if you would. Not as though I had already attained. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. I want to move forward. I want to take the next step. I want a fresh start in my life. I know that I have a past. Here's what he's saying. I have the potential to fail today. Hey, you want to take a good step. You want to take the next step. You want to have a fresh start this year. You want a fresh start today. Here's what first you must recognize to be that conqueror over your past. You must understand that everybody in this building, including yourself, has the potential at any moment, at any given time, to fail miserably on the Lord. There's not a perfect person in here. There's nobody in here that can stand and raise their head, put their shoulders back and say, I am perfect, I have no sin, and yet I'm not going to sin. Everybody in here has the potential to fail. We're talking about frailty. Understanding in your life that you could fall tomorrow. I wonder this morning how many came in here thinking, yeah, I'm the stuff. I wonder how many came in here thinking this morning, yeah, I just come to church because I don't necessarily need the preaching or I don't need the teaching. I don't need the worship. I came to be seen. This is all just kind of show for me because I've got it down pat. Can I tell you something? Probably tomorrow morning, you're the one that's going to fall flat on your face. The Bible said, take heed lest you fall. The Apostle Paul was that one who understood that because he was the one who said this, man, the good that I want to do, Romans chapter 7, the good that I desire to do, guess what he said? I don't do. There are times in my life that I don't do it. And then he said this, the bad that I don't want to do, sometimes I do it. It's called depravity. It's called being a human. It's called having flesh. It's called being frail. It's called being weak. Can I be honest with you this morning? As your fearless spiritual leader, I'm weak. I doubt. I sin. I fear. I hurt. I get angry. I get upset. I'm weak. My name is John Stevens and I'm frail. Now I understand that my next step moving forward is an understanding that it could be backwards. That I could fall flat on my face, that I could fail miserably, that I could mess up tomorrow, that I could ruin my life and my family and this church, that I could do all those things. I've got to understand that I am frail. The Apostle Paul, when he's speaking of this, I haven't attained, neither have apprehended, or already perfect, is basically saying I'm not satisfied with my spiritual condition. He's not saying, oh, I'm doing pretty good for the matter. If you think you're doing pretty good this morning, here's what you're doing. You're comparing yourself to somebody else. You're not comparing yourself with Christ. I'm pretty good. Well, you're looking at somebody else and comparing yourself. You're going to find the lowest of the lowest and say, well, I'm pretty good. But when you compare yourself to Jesus Christ, all of us look pretty weak. When you compare yourself to the perfect Son of God, all of us look fairly weak. And we're frail. I wanted this morning to take that next step, to get that fresh start. You know what we have to do this morning? We have to be dissatisfied with our present condition. We must understand that we're frail. We must understand that we are weak. That's where it starts this morning. That's where it begins. That's where the journey starts for that new beginning, for that fresh start, for that next step, is understanding that I'm weak. Well, you know what you should do? You should do just what A.W. Tozer said, that my human condition should rattle my teeth and should scare me to the core. Because I know who I am. I know who I am. This isn't me this morning. I dress pretty good and put on this little nifty bow tie to make everybody look like, oh yeah. And someone told me this morning, I'm cute. That's what somebody told me. And then she went and told me, well, everybody under 40 is cute. I mean, that's not a compliment, you know. Anyways, I dressed this morning just so that I could tell you guys and show you guys everything's good on the outside. But if you were to look on the inside, you would know I'm weak. Everybody in this room, for the most part, I'm telling you what, you look good, dress good, you got it all figured out, everybody. But on the inside, you know who you really are. We're weak. I'm talking about from the highs to the lows. I'm talking about to the drug addict that can't get off the drugs, to the person that continually battles and deals with alcohol, to the person that continually battles with pornography, the person that continually battles with addictions and struggles in their life, to the very that person, to the person who comes in here and says, look at me. You know what? They're all the same person on the inside. We're all weak. Listen, don't ever listen to nobody to tell you that I'm above that or I've reached to a certain point. I'll be the first to admit only by the grace of God I am where I am and I am what I am. Truth of the matter is we're frail. Understanding our next step, to understand our fresh start, we must understand our frailty. The second word I want you to write down quickly this morning is the word forget. Forget. Here's what the Bible says, if you would, in verse number 13. Follow along with me. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Here's a word that nobody wants to hear this morning, and that's the word forget. You know, because to the core of who we are, We want others to be reminded not only about who we are, but about what they've done. I'm the world's worst. You can talk to my wife about this. She says, anytime she does this, she says, I play the harp. In other words, I keep bringing it up. I want her to know how bad she hurt me. And I want to know how, I want her to know when she burned the bread. You know, I want her to know, you know, so I'm the harper in the family. Y'all pray for me about that. Pray for Mandy that she has the right attitude. But anyway, okay, moving right along. We need some marriage counsel. Nobody wants anybody to forget. We want people to remember us. We want people to remember what they've done to us. We don't want to forget, so to speak. The Apostle Paul said, forgetting those things which are behind. But wait just a moment. This word forgetting in the Greek doesn't mean what you think it means. Many people say when we say forget, it simply means to remove from our thoughts. Or that we would never remember them any longer, but that's not what this word means. The word forget here doesn't mean fail to remember. It means to no longer allow it to influence you. The truth of the matter is, God created the best computer ever with the brain. Some, you know, not working as great as others. A little malfunction here and there. But God created the best computer ever. Can I tell you something? There are things I wish I could forget, but I can't. Things I've seen, things I've heard, things I've said, things I've done, I wish I could forget. There are things I wish I could remember. My wife's name, you know, I'm just kidding. You know, what's your name again? There are things that I wish I could remember, things I wish I could forget. But that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about when he says forgetting, listen, to take the next step, to get a fresh start. Here's what he said. It can no longer influence your life for the future. I wonder this morning about every act, every word, every event, every situation, every circumstances that has been forever embedded in your brain. God is not asking you or imploring you or begging you to remove that memory. He is asking you and begging you and imploring you to allow that memory to no longer influence tomorrow. He's not asking you to remove it from your mind. He's not asking you to take the hurt that you felt 2 years ago and the tears and the pain that you felt. He's not asking you to totally get it out of your life. He's asking you to allow it to no longer influence your life. It's really important what the Apostle Paul says in verse number 13. Notice these four words. But this one thing, I do. maybe the demise of our Christian culture is going to be many things and not one thing. Maybe the demise of where we are today is that we're apart and practice many things, but we're not good at one thing. We're a part of many things. We do many things, but we don't do one thing well. You know what the Apostle Paul said? You can't do anything unless you do one thing, and that is forget those things which are behind. I want you to know this morning that it's good to serve in Awana, and it's good to sing in the choir, and it's good to teach a Sunday school class, and it's good to be here every day, and it's good to be here every service, and it's good all to do these things. But if you can't do one thing, and that is forget those things which are behind, those many things aren't going to matter. The Lord Jesus Christ thought of one thing to be of great importance. Because in Mark chapter 10, He looked at the rich man and He said, "One thing thou lackest." And then He told Martha in John chapter 10, "One thing is needful, Martha." And then again to that blind man who received his sight, John chapter 9, He said, "One thing that I know." Psalm 27, "One thing I desire of the Lord." Do you get the picture here? God wants you to work and practice and get this one thing down. And then we can move to the next thing. And until we get this down, that our future is impacted by our past. And if we don't allow it to affect it anymore, we can be no good to the service of God. One thing. This morning, I'm not asking you to join Awanas. This morning, I'm not asking you to serve in any committee. This morning, we're not begging you to sing in the choir. You know what we're asking you to do? One thing. Forgetting those things which are behind. Here's the secret. It's not many things. It's not covering a lot of things. It's one thing. You can take the next step. Can start with a fresh start. Forgetting those things which are behind. That's kind of what Nehemiah did. Nehemiah was building the wall and they said, "Come off that wall. Help us with all these things." And Nehemiah said, No. "I'm doing this one thing pretty well, so I'm just going to stay here and do this one thing." You know, tomorrow morning, if you can do one thing, forget yesterday, you're going to have a pretty good day, I think. And the next day, if you can do one thing well, forget about the day before and work on this day. Just keep working on that wall. Keep doing that one thing, as He said. What a great example of truth that He's giving us here, the Apostle Paul. Again, past sin, things that we've done against God. Don't let it influence any longer. Excuse me, past sorrow. Things of people that have hurt us, situations that have come in our lives that have hurt us, don't allow them to affect us any longer. We're talking about past successes. Oh, look at me. Look what I did 5 years ago, 10 years ago, last week. Put it all behind us. Why? Because one thing I do, I'm not going to allow it to influence me any longer because today's a new day. Tomorrow's a new day. Next week's a new week. You know what the Apostle Paul is doing here? "Lord, You know who I am. You know how I've messed up. You know what a sinner I am. You know how awful I am. You know how frail I am, God. You know all the successes that I've had. You know all the sorrows, the people that have betrayed me, the hurt that I feel in my life. I am going to forget those things. Not remove them from my brain, but remove them from my future." I said, "Brother John, I want a fresh start. I want to take that next step this year, and I want a fresh start. 2015, here's what you do. You understand your frailty. You're weak. Know who we are. We have the potential to fail, all of us. We live life every day with a sense of fear, the fear of God. Not that we're afraid of the world, but we live in the fear of God. That we have an understanding that, hey, listen, my life is important. It has a purpose and a plan. And I'm frail and I'm weak. Number two, I'm going to forget. I'm going to allow no longer the things in my past to affect my future." Here's the last word this morning. We're going home. It's the word "forth." Forth. Look at verse number 13 again. "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. I haven't reached the point. I'm frail. But this one thing I do, what one thing? Forgetting. I forget. I'm not allowing it to affect my future any longer. And reaching forth unto those things which are before. This little phrase, reaching forth, is a sportsman's term in the Bible. It has to do with racing. And the idea of this word is to lunge forward. In other words, to win the race, to go forward. Obviously, to go backwards is not the key. To win the race is to go forward, to reach forth, to get the prize. I mentioned a few moments ago that the majority of our church are carriers. The majority of Christians are carriers. They have the smile, they have the dress, they look good. On the outside, you don't see anything, but on the inside, there's hurt, there's past, there's failures, and all these things that they have the weight of the world on their shoulders. Stop here for a moment. The reason why those people are not conquerors and will not be conquerors is because they're not reaching forth. Here's what the Apostle Paul said. The Apostle Paul said that I'm gonna forget. I'm not gonna allow it to hinder me longer. But I'm not gonna stay right there. I'm gonna reach forth to the prize. Can I ask you this morning? What are you reaching for? What are you reaching for? Are you reaching to try to fix the problems of your past? Are you reaching for resentment and vengeance and anger? Is that what you're reaching for? Are you reaching to try to make right all the things that have done wrong? Is that what you're reaching for too? Or are you reaching for grace? Are you reaching for mercy? Are you reaching for His love? Are you reaching for His truth? Everybody's reaching for something. What are you reaching for? I don't know about everybody in this room, but I know myself. And I know that I have a past. And I know if I allow the past to affect my future, boy, I'm broken, I'm hurt, I'm no good for God. But when I can not allow those things to affect my future, it's not going to affect, and I forget about those things. If I can reach for that grace, reach for His mercy, reach for that prize, God can do great things in my life. I often think about the man by the name of Joseph. I think he's a great example today. You know the story of Joseph, don't you? Joseph was taken by his brothers because they were jealous of him. They threw him in a pit, basically a prison cell. Said, we want to get rid of him. We're going to kill him, but they decided not to. They sold him to slavery for money. Told his father that he was dead. Joseph then went into slavery. God was with him, the Bible says. He got out, became a servant, went back into prison. Got out, went back into prison. Was lied about, was deceived. The Bible says that he was forgotten about in prison. Now stop here for a moment. His family betrayed him. He lived a life in slavery. He got out, he was deceived, he was lied about. Was put back into prison while he was in prison. Someone promised him, and again, another broken promise, another forgotten stage in his life. How many of us, including myself at that point, would have said, I'm done. I'm done. God, all these things happen in my life. Why do they keep happening? I've been hurt. I've been abused. I've had these tears every night, and I'm forgotten about it. Have you ever felt that way before? But we read about another man. We read about the same man in Genesis chapter 45. that looked at the people that began the process of his life of hurt and pain, his own brothers, and said, God meant it for good. You know what Joseph was reaching for? He was reaching for his future. He no longer wanted to carry the weight of his past with him any longer. He wanted a fresh start. He wanted a new day. And as I look and as I span the crowd this morning, I see a lot of smiley faces, but down deep, I wonder how many are with me and say, I'm tired of carrying this weight in my life. For those of you who know not Jesus Christ, you've never been saved. The weight on your shoulders can never be taken off until you ask Jesus Christ to save you and give your life to Him. But for those of you who are saved, you're born again, you know Jesus Christ personally. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Not only will He take it from you, but He will carry it for you. This morning, just a moment, well, we're going to meet down at this altar. And I wonder who's going to come to this altar and say, God, 2015, I don't know what lies ahead, but I'm weak. I'm frail. I'm not as good as everybody thinks I am. I know my heart and you know my heart. I'm weak. I'm frail. I've got flesh. I'm a sinner. I'm a saved sinner, but I'm flesh. I wonder how many come to this altar and say, God, this year, help me to be humble in my weakness, knowing who I am. Maybe there's some people going to come this morning and just forget. I'm not talking about a remove it from your brain. I'm not talking about allow it to take some kind of a medical procedure to kind of get it all out of you. I'm talking about those who will not allow it to affect you any longer in your life. Tomorrow will not be a result of yesterday. And I wonder how many this morning are going to come and say, God, I'm going to put it behind me. I'm going to forget. But I'm going to reach forth. I want that future you want for me. I want your grace. I want your mercy. I want your love. God, I want what you have for me. I want your will for my life. So I'm reaching forth this morning. I wonder how many come this morning, 2015, and say, God, I know all those things that have happened, but right now I am reaching for what you want for me, God. No longer am I reaching or looking behind. No longer am I to the plow with my back, with my head backwards, but I'm looking forward and I'm looking to what you're going to do great for me. Fresh start. You, me, everybody in this room, we want a fresh start. And it begins right now. Father, this morning as we look at Scripture, as we find truth in your word, as we understand that all of us have a past, all of us face the problems of our yesterday. God, we want that fresh start. We want to take that next step. Whatever that next step is in our lives, and it begins today, Lord, with recognizing that we're weak. That we put on a good show and we put the mask and the smiles on, but God, we're weak. We're frail. God, help us to understand our frailty. And God, may there be people in this building this morning that will decide today that they will no longer allow their past to hinder their future. It's happened. We've messed up. We've been hurt. We've been wounded. We've made mistakes. But there's new mercies every day. There's grace every day. God will no longer allow it to affect today. God, may there be people this morning who will forget. And God, I beg this morning that you would allow us to reach forth. That instead of looking back and instead of standing still, that we would move forward and reach for your best today. that you have for us. Your grace, your mercy, the perfect will and the plan and the purpose that you have for us in our lives. Help us to reach for that today. With the heads bowed, with their eyes closed, no one's looking around this morning. In just a moment, we will have a simple invitation. In just a moment, Miss Gail's going to play a song on the piano. In just a moment, we're going to have others gather around this altar. And they can talk to the Lord and you can talk to the Lord. But here's my question. How many are ready for a fresh start? How many are ready to take that next step? How many are ready to understand your frailty? Understand that you must forget. Understand you got to reach forth. But John, that's me. I am weak. I understand my frailty. I, along with others in this building, nobody looking around, just me and the Lord. Brother John, that's me. I know I am weak. I am frail. That's me. Slip your hand up right now. I'm weak. Thank you. Many hands. Sure. I'm weak. I wonder this morning who'd be honest with me and say, Brother John, I've got things in my past, and Brother John, pray for me this morning that I can forget, not remove them from my brain, but remove them from my future, remove them from my day, from tomorrow. Brother John, I know I've got things, whether sin, whether sorrows, mistakes, hurt, wounds, whatever it is, I know I've got things that are hurting me, that are wounding me, or things that I've done. Brother John, pray for me that I can forget, not remove them from my brain, but remove them from my future so I can move on for Christ. That's me, Brother John. Slip your hand up right now. Right now. Many hands. Put your hands down. Thank you. And this morning, I wonder who would say, Brother John, pray for me. I've dealt with this thing before. I've dealt with my past before. Help me to reach for what God has for me, His best. That this year, I'm reaching for His grace, His mercy, His purpose, His plan for my life. Brother John, that's me. I'm reaching for today. That's me. Pray for me. Thank you. Many hands. Wow. I know no one's looking around, but if you were, many hands on all three questions. You know what that means? We all deal with the same things. Let's gather around this altar this morning when she begins to play. And let's say, God, you know my past. You know who I am. I need your help forgetting, and I'm reaching forward. I want you to help me with this. Let's stand to our feet. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Heavenly Fathers, we have an invitation. Speak to hearts. You work as only you can. Give strength and courage to get to this altar and God and do business about our past and get the things where we need to be right for 2015 that we can have this fresh start. You do your work as only you can. Remove me, remove my thoughts and my words out of the way. Need your power this morning in Jesus' name. No one's looking around.